Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and I'm super excited today to have personal friend and personal great, amazing friend of the show, Liam Kavanaugh. How's it going?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me. This is the first time I've been on your show. I'm really, really excited. This is fun.
Yeah, you're catching it right at the beginning. You know, we're going into the, like, almost episode 10, I think, now. Wow. I'm super excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going really well. People seem to love it. And I love it. And first, let's have a little go. Tell people a little bit about yourself, Liam.
Sure. Well thanks. My name's Liam Kavanaugh, and I am a program manager. Mm-hmm. I work on the Azure Search product. I work in the engineering organization. And really, our goal is to try to make it really easy for developers to add a great search experience to web and mobile apps. And of course, you know, we're seeing a lot of people use it in Xamarin. So I thought it would be great to kind of show what we've been doing in that area.
Yeah, I was super excited personally when my friend and colleague, Mike James, actually reached out to me and he said, listen, you have to have Liam on the show. You have to have him on the show. Because he fell in love with Azure Search and I still know basically nothing about it besides reading a few blog posts. So I was excited like where I could kind of integrate it into my mobile apps.
Yeah, right.
So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, of course, anytime.
Yeah. So Azure Search, is it just kind of a... one of our services, and like 1,000 things in Azure, right? Azure's huge, right?
It's
just
growing.
Another IaaS, PaaS, I don't know all these services that we have. Like, where does it fall into Azure, I guess?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging to keep up with it. You know, there's so many services coming out all the time.
Yeah.
We are what we call a platform as a service, so we try to take away all the complexity from building the search applications. And you know, when people think about search, it's hard to kind of really visualize or think about what it means, but you know, think of your smartphone. How many of your applications you use every day have some sort of search box in it? You know, you go to Netflix to look for search for movies. You go to Redfin real estate to search for homes. You go to Yelp to look for restaurants. There's always some sort of search component. So what we're seeing is that more and more people are trying to build out that great search experience, but what they're learning is it's not that easy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to keep that simple and make it so that you can build that Google-like experience
without
being an expert.
That makes sense, yeah, because whenever I go to Google, right, I type a letter like A, and Google's like, I know exactly what you're going to type next.
Ahead.
And it's like, what? How did you even know? It's so smart. And I've built a lot of Android and iOS applications, and usually how I handle search is that I almost always have a search box, and I have some database, so maybe I'm going to search and iterate over that, or I'm making a web request and pulling down data. But all I've really done in the past was each platform can handle a way of caching the last search results.
That's right.
So they're not intelligent search, right? It's just like, hey, you recently searched for pizza, right? So we're going to show that again. But I'm not, as you type PI, I'm not filling in, I'm not doing anything like that. Is that something that Azure Search kind of helps with, or is that a component to Azure Search? What's all involved in Azure Search?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that we do, and that's exactly what people find, is that when you first start getting into this full text, you think, okay, so I'm going to type pizza, let me look through my content and find that match. But then you quickly start learning, you know, there's more things that people expect. They went to Google and you misspelled the word, but it still found that match.
Yeah.
Right? If you have variations in the words or synonyms to it, you know, you're looking for one word, mouse, and maybe in the content it's mice, variations. How do you match people to what they're looking for to what's actually in the content? And that's one of the things that we really try to simplify for the user, because we understand, you know, 56 different languages really, really deeply.
Now, if someone does type in mouse and there's a query that I send to Azure Search, will it know to automatically like handle the translations in all those languages, or would I have to, my user be the one sending the string up to me that maybe is in Japanese, for instance, or does it know even the translation? That'd be amazing.
Yeah, so what we do is when you create the index, which is a place where you put the data to search, you have fields. It's just like a table, you have fields, and then you can say this field is an English field, this field is a Japanese field, and then when your users come in and you know they're typing in words and you want to search Japanese, you can use that, and then we'll use that analysis to look at the Japanese content.
Okay.
And it gets really tough. Like, I mean, you know, when Japanese is a good example where it's characters, and you know, sometimes if you move one character on the other side, it's a completely different meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
So challenging.
So challenging.
And we actually took this technology from Bing
in
Office. So it's been built up over 16 years. So it's got a pretty good level of background to it.
I can imagine this isn't the first time that we've done search here at Microsoft. And with all of our products too, because every product, you think I'm in Outlook, I'm searching, I'm in Office, I'm searching.
It's everywhere, right?
It's everywhere. I mean, you hit Windows. I was just yesterday, someone's like, hey, can you put Visual Studio into verbose logging mode? And I was like, how do I do that? And like, I think I should know that off the top of my head, but they're like, oh, just run debianv.exe/something.
Of course.
And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll open a term, I'll open like a command prompt and I'll type that in. But of course, I actually would have to be in that folder. So what do? Is I hit Windows and I just start typing it. And right. As I'm typing it, it's like, do you want to run this command? Mm-hmm. And then it's giving me hints even inside that. I was like super impressed actually just by Windows starting to type.
Yeah.
Because it knows what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Although I will say one thing, you can work with the VS Code team, is I always type VS Code one word and it never comes up. You have to only type code. So they need to fix that.
The word breaking, yes.
The word breaking.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you said that Azure Search, it's a platform as a service, it's in Azure. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look at it and integrate it into our Xamarin apps. But often, you know, it's not just a mobile app, right? Where all does Azure Search plug into? Because we have developers that are building, you know, WinForms apps, and they're building WPF apps, and they're building websites. Is it global that you can use it anywhere?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's basically any type. Since the platform is very developer-based, we have REST-based APIs, okay. We have .NET SDK, so you know, regardless of whether you're using WinForms or some sort of web application, or of course Xamarin, you know, you have all of these different capabilities to communicate with the search service, get the content you need, and then visualize that in your application.
Gotcha. So since it's a platform as a service, is it online only? Does it work offline with the .NET SDK? Does it, in the context of a mobile app, right? I might be on a plane or something like that. Obviously, I can't do a search, but I guess I would probably iterate locally first. Or does the .NET SDK handle some offline stuff for me? Or?
No, it's purely online.
Okay.
So, and the reason why we have that is because there's so many online services that we leverage. Mm-hmm. I talked about the Bing's capability for doing natural language, you know, other things. It's very much reliant on that, on the cloud to perform a lot of those advanced capabilities. So that's why it's purely online. We haven't yet made the ability to then cache or then be able to search locally.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and then probably as a developer, I may integrate some of this feature set, like, oh, the user type of this, and then cache some of that locally myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
We see that a lot.
Cool. Well, let's hop into it. I know you said you had some stuff that you wanted to show and kind of where to get. So I'm super intrigued as where do I get started? You know, where's the best place to learn about it? And then, like, what button do I click in Azure? That's what I really want to know, because there's 1,000 buttons in Azure, right?
Yeah, sounds good. So one of the things that I've done is I've actually created a whole set of courses, a set of videos, 8 different videos that kind of walk through from start to finish on how to build out one of these search applications in Xamarin. What it does, and if you go to my GitHub site, we'll include hopefully the link for everyone. Down at the bottom here, I have all the different videos, the screens. Okay. And what I thought I would do is actually show you how to get started. You know, some of the basics of how to create a search service, how to load content into it and start doing some searches.
Sure.
So then as you get into this, hopefully people have a better idea on how it all works.
Absolutely. That's super cool. So you can just click on each of those lesson folders and then boom, be good to go.
Exactly.
Cool.
And so actually, why don't I just show you the application that we have right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I have here is, this is actually the lesson 7, the source code from it. So it's kind of the complete application.
Final product,
and one of the things you'll see here is, as I do the type ahead, remember you were giving me the ideas that you know, it doesn't matter what I type, we're going to find those variations really, really quickly. And so we have all kinds of different options here. I can change it to, I'm looking for a home in Redmond. That looks good. Let's choose that one. And then, of course, we have the full text search capabilities where it goes out to Azure Search, uses those words that they just put in and brings back the best matches. You know, not only do we have the content, but we have thumbnails so that you can visualize the results in the grid. Paging, you know, often you'll have a lot of different results, so being able to quickly page, you know, back and forth in results, pretty important.
Yeah.
And then also, there's this concept of filtering.
Okay.
You know, people will say, I want to search for something, but then I want to, you know, based on categories, look at more specific information.
So not just like as I'm typing things. So as I'm typing things, so the first thing Azure Search is, I said red, and it was like, hey, you have a bunch of Redmond results, right? Or Red M, for instance, right? And that it automatically is filling in those.
Yeah.
But then, so we'll probably look at the database, I assume, but so each of these filters would be like some like that Redmond listing has some additional columns, right, of information.
You got it.
Often, you know, I have some information. If this is a house, well, it's like three floors, or it's, you know, over $1 million, or it's you know, sold or pending, saying here, right? So whenever I look at Redfin, right, this is me quite a few months ago, and I was looking for new apartments, actually.
Yeah.
It was nonstop Zillowing all day.
And, you know, real estate is such a challenging one because, you know, maybe you're looking for a cabin and you're looking for waterfront, but it's, you know, in the content, it's referred to as lakefront. You know, all those different synonyms, it's really, really challenging. So being able to match people to what they're looking for is something that's, you know, important, because if you look for waterfront, there's no listings. Well, guess what? You just lost a customer.
Yeah, true.
So important, but that's a great example. So here's the filtering where I can, like I say, if I want to look between three and six bedrooms, gives me the updated count. I can go up, you know, look at the details of the home, like maybe this one looks interesting. Look at it. And one of the things that we can do is not only bringing you back...
A little pricey.
Yeah, a little high, a little high.
A little pricey.
It's going up. Completely made up data, but yeah.
Okay. But relatively realistic.
Yeah, probably. So here you see, not only do I show the home, but I show a similar homes. Because one of the things that we can do is add more intelligence and say, based on the text that we saw of that listing, here's some other things. Like if we say, you know, granite countertops in multiple homes, you know, three bedrooms, that's a way for people to link and add more value and find alternatives.
And the developers don't have to do extra work to try to figure that out, essentially. Because when I'm watching Channel 9, you're watching the Xamarin Show, as soon as this episode ends, you have like Azure Machine Learning and all this stuff, like based on the names, what you've previously watched, things that are feeding in, which is really important, because to me,
it's true.
Listen, if I've been looking at the same type of house over and over again, tell me what else I can look at, which would be pretty nice.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is just, you just make a call to us and we will provide that. That's not to say that you can't then start adding some more machine learning, you know, further analysis, but you
know, it's like free.
It's free. It's just get it, and it's easy to do.
Yeah, because the thing with machine learning is you need a, you know, Seth, for instance, here, he's really big into machine learning. You got to build this model, and it's got to go through this thing. You might as well be a data scientist at that point, right?
Yeah.
So this is just like, hey, here's my database, here's Azure Search, and it just figures it out for you.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that. That sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So let me now you kind of have the idea of what we're trying to build. What I thought I would do is then go to the portal and show it how we can actually get started with this.
Yeah, I like that.
So let me switch over. The first thing that I'll show you here is just in the Azure portal. Yep. Hopefully a lot of your audience has actually, you know, used the portal, Azure portal, but before, what you need to do is you go on new here, search for Azure Search, and of course there's a search box.
Got a search box. Hopefully powered by Azure Search.
Right, there you go. So what you can do is you can choose the search service, walk through the process.
Okay.
We have everything from a free service. You can actually build exactly what we have here using a free service, all the way up to the paid that can handle, you know, thousands of searches every second. Yep. So very, very scalable. I've created the search service already. And you'll notice here, remember I was telling you it's an API-based service? Mm-hmm. This is the URL that you access. There is an API key.
Okay.
So that when you make calls to it, you pass in the key to authenticate.
Makes sense.
Both query and administrative keys. But what I thought I would do is actually create a new index, a new listing index, so that, like you say, it has those fields and the documents that we can search over.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah. Now, in this instance here, you create the search service, and let's say I already have something like an Azure mobile app, and I have that pointed to an Azure SQL database.
Yep.
Can I just point Azure Search at it and then like it's like, hey, cool, I figured it out, or I have to do a little bit more work? Is that what you're about to show me?
Literally what
I just said, I think that is what you're about to show me.
That was an awesome intro. That is exactly what I'm going to talk about.
That's what our developers are doing. That's what I do. Like for the conference, the Evolve conference application, you'd have to search for a username. And I had this, oh my goodness, it's in the source code, but I had this huge, I called it like a haystack, where I was taking everything that was in the database that I thought the users would want to search over. And I would pipe them. I would say, okay, and then it would try to figure out, and it gave like okay results, like good enough over 70 things in the data, in the database. But if you have thousands of things, you don't want to cache that maybe locally, and you want to probably do this. Here we go, look at this.
Yeah, you got it. That's actually perfect, because that's what we found, is that we have two different ways you can get data into Azure Search. You can either programmatically push it, put it into a JSON document, and give it to us, and we'll index it, which is great. Like if you have CSVs or whatever, you can send it really easily.
Yeah.
But it's exactly what you said. You know, people have data in common stores. So if we can crawl, we call it an indexer, but if we can crawl a common stores and just bring in the data, it's so much easier. This is definitely one of our more popular tools, and it's a really great way to get started.
Yeah.
Like you say, we have Azure SQL and SQL Server, DocDB, blob storage. So if people have, you know, PDFs, Office documents, and they want to search the text within that, we can parse it and then search through that.
Very cool.
Table storage, which is pretty popular too.
Yeah.
The one that I thought I would use is this samples data set, which ultimately is backed by SQL, but it's a set of 5,000 listings.
Okay.
So people can play with it. It fits into the free system. And when I choose this, one of the things that you'll notice is that the indexer, when it connects to the backend store, it tries to figure out what is the right schema for your index.
Okay.
So it'll say, you know, here are the fields that I saw, and if I was in SQL Server, this might be like a varchar. You know, down here we have geospatial, so longitude and latitude.
Oh, nice.
So if I can do full text searches that way. And then just like in a SQL table, you have these parameters or properties where this field can be returned back to the user. Right?
Oh, okay, yeah, because you might not want everything returned back to the user. You just want little, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, in fact, one of the things that a lot of people do is they will then use the search scoring capabilities and say, you know what, maybe if there's higher margins on this document, I can give a little bit more weighting in the search results.
Oh, I see, gotcha.
You know, so you can adjust it, and so sometimes you use it for tuning, but you don't want users necessarily to see it.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So remember I was looking at the homes and I was filtering, and what I can do is I can say, okay, I want to be able to categorize the houses that the people search by, you know, number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, and then filter those results.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you're creating your own filtering just by sending it up to the RESTful endpoint, telling it the different properties, and it just handles it for you.
Yeah, you got it. And of course, probably the most important is just whether that field can be full text searchable.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then I won't go through all of these, but since you brought it up, you notice here I have different language descriptions, but what I've done here is I've applied the language analyzer to those specific fields.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody searches for the English field, we're going to be able to look, handle mouse versus mice, all those variations of words.
Gotcha.
You know, decompounding, so condo versus condominium versus apartment.
Yeah.
You know, really tough. But if we can simplify that, that's a great start.
I like that. Cool.
So let me just go and bring in the data so you can actually look at it. The indexer is something that you can schedule. So since this is a sample data set, you can't because it's just sample.
Sample, but you can do whenever you want.
Pick up changes as they happen.
Yep.
So it's very, very efficient from that perspective. And then let's go and actually bring in the data.
Or can you also manually kick it off? Let's say I create like an Azure function that says, hey, listen, every time I insert something in the database, just like kick off a reindexer or a task or something like that. You can some API to call it and kick it off manually, or is it all in that portal?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything you do here, you can do from the API as well. But I'm glad you brought functions because we're
big
actually
fan of functions. Huge fan of
I
functions.
Love it.
I love the functions for all these little use cases that maybe like aren't in a mobile app, but maybe could be like something else, a reliable service. Right?
Oh yeah, I'm always looking for great examples of how to do this. But you know, one of the things down here you'll see is this idea of monitoring.
Oh, okay.
And so what you can do is, like, for example, if your service is getting hammered, you know, so many search requests, you might want to have an event hook that calls Azure Functions that say, okay, give me more scale, give me more capacity.
Oh, cool.
So automating scale up and down. People have done it for, you know, if I'm getting throttled, I'm just getting some users, send me an email.
Oh,
Functions
cool.
is perfect for that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I love Functions too. So as you see here, we have the index.
Yeah.
We can click on it, all the different details for
everything
the fields.
We just saw, this is, and then you can modify. And okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then so I can start doing some queries. You notice here, we have the API. I can say, search for homes. I think we were looking at Seattle before. So it goes out, brings back the result. And if we look down here, I'm sure we'll see Seattle in here somewhere in the result. there we go, Seattle right there.
City.
And you know, I can say things like, let me do faceting and say, and facet on the number of beds. So what it does is in Seattle, we see that there's 380 homes that have one bedroom, 374 that have three bedrooms, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now explain what a facet is essentially for people that because I saw the facet in the listing. Describe what that means, because it essentially looks like it has done some grouping for me or something?
That's
like
exactly
that?
What it okay. is. Like if you've ever used SQL Server, you might yeah. say, okay, select where it's equal to this and group by oh, okay. bedrooms.
Yeah, because not everyone's a database, a DB.
Yeah, absolutely.
Person.
No, it's
so
good
I'm not. So I do my best. I let Azure Mobile Apps figure out most of it for me. But,
yeah,
but okay, so it's saying, hey, like get grouped by the count. And there's obviously a value for every bed, like it's an integer, or it's a string. Or something
yeah.
Like that,
right? Yeah, yeah. And in most database systems, doing this type of grouping mm-hmm. over even fairly small data sets can take time.
Yeah.
Right. And as you add in more of these groups,
yeah.
It's not super fast. Search engines are optimized for that. So it came back really, really quick.
Now, is this actually hitting my database when I do this? Or have you've indexed it and cached it all locally to kind of mirror what my database is doing? Is that yeah. what's happening there?
Yeah, we actually bring in the data.
Oh, interesting.
So we're actually bringing in the data, and we're indexing it in a different way than what you would see in a SQL database
totally.
Or really any other store.
So that's kind of nice where, so you're not actually making this a RESTful endpoint. You're not going to make multiple hits against your database. And even if for some reason something goes awry and someone tries to DDoS you and they hit your search endpoint,
yeah.
it's not going to bring down your database, right? Because it's actually not hitting your database,
yeah.
which is kind
of
nice.
Yeah, a
okay.
lot of people really do that to separate that workload because
yeah.
search is so variable, right? Like you don't know
yeah.
if you're going to get one or a million users. So, impacting your core SQL database is a big reason why people will try to move that search outside.
Makes sense.
And we're really optimized for that, which is great.
Makes sense.
So let me just do a couple other searches. So let's say that, okay, now I say, okay, now I want to filter where the number of bedrooms is, let's say, greater than 3, right? So now you can see how I'm easily drilling into that data.
Yeah.
I can let my users visualize and click in and get the more and more details on those items.
Yeah, so it's like you're just executing SQL commands and RESTful endpoints, and it creates the URL, so you can now you don't even have to put it into your mobile app at this point to test it. You just pull up the
yeah.
Search Explorer, you get the URL that you'd want to hit, and then boom.
Yeah.
You can modify and start putting it into your application.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Cool.
Let me show you a couple other quick ones. So let's looking for granite countertops. Bring that back. And you'll notice here that, it's in here somewhere. Oh, there it's down there below, but it wasn't really easy to see. And if I have a huge description, mm-hmm. How that's hard to find, right?
Yeah.
So what we can do is we can give back a highlight. We can say and highlight on the description field. And what we get back is for every single item, a small little snippet where we found mm-hmm. those words. So
yeah.
then you can imagine, okay, let's visualize with a bold tag or an underlined tag.
Yeah.
Here's what you're searched for, and here's those results.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, and remember I was showing you, talking about the mouse versus mice? Let's give that a try here. Let's type mice here. And, there is a house that has
a
mouse problem, right?
Yeah.
But without doing anything at
yeah.
all, just using the English analyzer, we found those variations.
Yeah, so all your plural, all your feminine versus
different
masculine, different languages, right? And a lot of, I took French when I was in high school, and,
yeah.
a lot of things are based on whether it's a feminine or male type pronunciation or if the
yeah.
plural, and you have to, when you're doing translations in your mobile
so
app, it's
hard.
Like a headache, but I mean, often these descriptions come in like that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, and English is tough, but when you go to other languages, it gets really, really tough. So
yeah.
this is one of the really advantages here.
What if you do lakefront? Because I see ocean frontage.
Yeah, so that's a good example. In fact, one I could actually show you the API, but that's actually probably one that will not come up. And let me try it. I think waterfront is probably one that won't come up. Yeah. So one.
Oh, no, it's the highlight.
Yeah, sorry.
There we go.
Let me change waterfront. Let's see if it actually does. Oh, it did. Okay.
Probably actually have waterfront in them.
But there are cases where you will not get an exact match.
Like,
think if you have a very unique industry that we don't know every words. So what we do is we provide this capability of synonyms.
Okay.
So if you learn through our analytics and we have a Power BI integration,
you
can see people are searching for this term, but they're not getting results. Well, enrich our index with tell us what that mapping of the words.
Give Azure Search some information to improve it. Because, often I'm making mobile apps that, for the Evolve conference app, they're very specific around different topics in
That's
mobile
right.
development.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm talking about, app indexing for interest, people also may be searching for search, or they may be searching for Siri, or they may be searching for Cortana, right? And that's what they're looking for, but at app indexing talk may be really pertinent to what they want, so those results should come back.
That's true, that's
true.
And that's one of the things that you can add on to the service. Let me show you just one final query. This one's a geospatial one.
Oh, cool.
Just to show you how that all ties into here. Let me just grab the query here.
Yeah, because often mobile applications, when you're walking around with these phones, you have the GPS. You could easily just say, "Hey, I'm right here," and just go, right?
Yeah. Not only can you pass, you know, the longitude and latitude, like you say, I can grab that and I say, "Show me all the homes." I'm not specifying a location. I'm just saying anything. And give me homes that are less than or equal to 10 kilometers from the space. So you saw what we do is we bring that out, and then so we can quickly tie searching with geospatial
as
well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So those are some of the things that you will go through in the courses that I showed from a GitHub site.
Yeah.
So hopefully those of you will give it a try.
Yeah.
You know, let me know what you think.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in trying to see what we can do to help the community add more of these search capabilities to Xamarin.
Yeah. Now, what does it look like inside the application? Like, you have this app. This is the final project. Is there an SDK that gets in? So is a NuGet package or... what kind of gets installed, I guess, is the question I have.
Yeah, so for this application, I am using the REST API to access it. We do have the .NET SDK. We have a NuGet package. There's just a couple of small things that we need to do before we can actually enable that from Xamarin. So just for the short term, I recommend people try using the REST API because that has all the capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then very soon, we'll be able to allow them to use the .NET SDK as well.
Very cool. So can you show an example really quick of maybe on the search dropdown, just what it would look
like?
Sure.
Let's just go in here. And so you see here, I have, and included in the application is an example index and an API key, a query key. You'll see here, here's that index, one of the indexes we've created. And here's one of the search terms, so like, or a suggest, I should say. So on the API, what we can do is this is what we're passing into the search service.
Okay.
You remember it was like, /indexes.
Yep.
If we're doing a full text search, I'm going to look over that index name for the terms, and then we just execute the results. But let me show you what that code looks like.
Yeah, can we make the fonts a little bit bigger? Let's go to 120 in the bottom left.
Okay. Where I always forget where the button.
Right down.
There you go.
There.
Thanks. Want that 150?
Yeah. Boom.
So here we go.
Yeah,
so this listings one is a little bit more complicated because this is where it's actually taking what they're searching for.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm doing is I'm building up a URL and I'm saying, okay, I want to get the count.
Yep.
I want to only get a top 10 set of results.
Yep.
I can do paging. So I take the current paging and I just build up a whole filter. So this one's a little bit longer.
Yeah, a little bit more verbose. Yeah.
But all I'm doing is once I have the URL, and this URL is like I could basically just take what I had here, copy that in to the URL, and these are really the four lines that you're going to need to execute it,
yeah.
And then you just JSON, you just parse through it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then what you could do is, let's say you know you already have all your data locally, and you just kind of want to improve your application in search. What you could do then is just say, listen, I'm assuming in the Azure search, say, only return my IDs or something like that. Like, so that way you're making really lightweight JSON calls, right? If you already have the data, no need to return the data.
Yep.
Just only return the count or something like that, which is actually really cool. I really like that. I'm trying to think of, I was just in a in an application that was really cool on iOS that when you opened it up, it would tell you how many people subscribe to this podcast or something like that. It was the count of all these indexes and things like that they were querying up, and that's just data coming from the database.
Yeah, that's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of opportunities for search, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. Yeah, because often it's just you're always doing a two count, you're doing this, you're trying to figure out these search results, and then you have to iterate over all this data, and you just return it.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Awesome. Very cool. Anything else you want to show off at all in the final
steps? No, that's all. You know,
cool.
Hopefully people will, like I say, you know, check out the Azure Search, give this a try, try out some of those courses, and you know, my Twitter is LiamCA, so let me know what you think.
Yeah, we'll
put it
all in the show notes. We'll put the app. We'll put links to some documentation and everything that you saw here. Well, Liam, thank you so much for coming
on. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
I hope I can come back.
Absolutely.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, when you do new revs, do all that cool stuff, any of those things, new stuff come out, just let me know. I'd love to have you back on.
Thanks.
Well, this has been the Xamarin Show. Until next time, I'm James Montemagno. Hope you enjoyed. All right, cool.
All right, like 30 minutes?
Perfect.
All right, cool.